You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Easier Said. And I think you can fill in the blank what goes after that. Easier said what? Than done. One of the things that I observe is the simplicity that there is in the gospel, but the complexity there seems to be of applying very simple things to your life. And too many times we come up with easy answers. We talk to somebody, we hear their story, and then we throw out some easy answer. And as it turns out, the answers are really easy, but the application of those answers, not so much. It takes time. It takes patience on our part. It takes patience on the part of the person who's going through whatever it is. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Let's jump into verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, which don't be confused. His mother was not a nun. This is just the person's name. Son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land that I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, into the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So the Bible says stuff like, I mean, this is God speaking to this guy. Like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Tells him everything. So this is simple. How could anybody ever be afraid when you hear this? So we read these scriptures and then we find out God's not just with us as Christians, he is in us. So how hard can it be to just read it and go, it says he will never leave you or forsake you, and no, he will never leave me or forsake me, so I can never be alone. It's not going to be bad for me. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. There's nothing that can come against me. No weapon formed against me. You can just go on and on and on with the verses. So then he says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Again, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand, to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So simple instructions. This isn't complicated. This is what you do. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. So you say, well, I want my way to be prosperous. Well, then read the verses before this. And you say, yeah, it's so simple, but why is it so hard to do? And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So you read that and go, okay, I get it. It's so simple. That's the easy answer. Just, it's going to be all right. And then you take one step in the right direction and you get hit with what? Not strength, weakness. Not courage, fear. Cowardice almost. And the devil goes, boo! And you run back in your hole like you didn't hear any of it. Like it's not even true. Like it didn't even happen. So be strong. Yeah, that's great advice. How do you actually do that? You have to read these things and believe these things. And here's another simple thing. I know you say, well, I thought you were going to help us with these easy answers. Don't quit. Now see, my answer to the easy answers is another easy answer. Don't quit. Keep trying. Get up. You get scared, you go down, get back up. Go to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to get to a ton of these. And if we miss yours, I'm encouraging you just to read the whole Bible. And we'll get to yours in your spare time. Luke chapter 17. Now this is just, I'm just giving you one little verses. Just, I'm not reading you all the verses on this. Luke 17 verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, another Christian sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you'll forgive him. Well, I'm getting tired of this. There's not a verse for that. They do something to you, come back, I'm sorry. They do something to you, come back, I'm sorry. They do something to you, come back, I'm sorry. They do it, come back, I'm sorry. Do it, come back, I'm sorry. Do it, come back. You know, all of a sudden you're tired, I'm just at six. They do something to you, come back, I'm sorry. You go, this is not making any sense. But what does the Bible say to do with that person? Keep forgiving them. Well, I'm getting tired of this. Because it's not the forgiving that's getting old, it's what they're doing to me over and over and over again. I don't want the simple answer. I don't even want to do the simple answer. I don't like the Bible all the time. And it doesn't like me all the time. Because we don't always sync up. People say, you know, the Bible says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know what? I don't want to be free. I like my little sin that's got me captive. I don't want to know what the truth is. I don't want to be free. Leave me alone. You say, well, who's saying that? Look at us. Because simply put, if we found out what the truth was and we applied it to our lives, you know the truth will make you free, you'd be free. Then why are we not all free? Not everybody wants to be free. Not even all Christians want to be free. You say, well, why would that be? I don't know. Ask yourself about your deal. Why would that be? Stop asking about why someone else wouldn't be free when you don't even have an answer to why you don't want to be free. Go to John chapter 8. Great story in here. Messy story. Terrible situation for this woman. If you know this, you know what it is already when I say John chapter 8. Maybe you've never heard it, so I'll read it quick. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. We caught her doing it. We didn't hear about it. We don't have, you know, the guy said this was going on. We were voyeuristically somehow, we caught her in the act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. So they're not just after her, they're after him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Acts like he doesn't hear what they're saying. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Okay, let's stone her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, now look at this conversation, this situation. And he could have thrown the first stone. What did he say? Whoever's without sin, throw the first stone. There's only one person there without sin. And he didn't throw a stone. So there's no one there qualified to stone her except Jesus. And the person qualified to stone her for what she had done says what? Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, look at this simple sentence. Neither do I condemn you. And then this amazing little sentence, phrase, go and sin no more. Well, there's your answer. I'm going to start using that on people. You get caught in some sin, you come talk to me about it. Well, there you go. I don't condemn you. Now here's the answer. Go and sin no more. You're good to go. Good luck with that. Now, how do you think that worked out for her? Was she sinless the rest of her life because Jesus said, go and sin no more? She never sinned again? That's not the point, but that's the principle. That's the encouragement. He's saying, okay, now don't go live that way. Don't go sin. Don't go live this way anymore. But he also knows that our reality is we go and sin some more. You say, yeah, but I got this one sin that so easily besets me. And if I get that taken care of, let me tell you something. You're going to graduate to a new problem. When you get one tied down, then all of a sudden you realize, what is this thing? It's just that the one you got right now is so huge and overwhelming, you can't even see the secondary, the tertiary, you know, the third and fourth deals. They don't even show up because God's trying to help you with the primary and say, look, what are we doing with it? And he's being what? Long-suffering, merciful, kind, gracious. Now you say, oh, well, this sounds really good, so then I can just keep struggling the rest of my life and God won't care and it's okay. There is something called consequence. and consequence is part of the mechanism that God uses in his long suffering. You say, well, it looks like the simple answer, not so simple for you because you don't get it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn up the consequences. And what we're going to do is get you to the place where you go, I think I'd rather do what God wants me to do than what I want to do. Because it turns out that the pain from the disobedience is greater than the pleasure that I get from the disobedience. So, uncle, I'm out. Now, wise people can be told things. Stubborn people have to experience things. Some people just read it and go, wow, that looks like a great suggestion for my life. I will do that. And other people go, yeah, maybe, but I think I know a way around that. And here we go. Go to Acts chapter 1. Now, this is a verse I heard all the time, everywhere growing up. And I don't think I have it, even still to this day, have really a complete understanding of what this says. Jesus has died, buried, raised from the dead, about to ascend into heaven, he's out. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, and in my translation, capital P, promise, meaning the Holy Spirit, promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But, I can't answer that question. But I can't answer this one. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And people say, well, but that's tied to witnessing. Then it says, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So that's an outcropping of it. But you're going to get power. What does that mean? That means if you didn't have power, you do have power. You become a Christian, you get power. You get a power plant. You're not by yourself anymore. You're not asked to live a Christian life without Christ. And he's the only one who could live the Christian life. So if somehow you could get Christ, who lived the life that he's asking you to live, to move in your body, and you cut him loose with that kind of power, it's amazing how he can live a life that you can't live by yourself. The more I understand about this power, I'm going to put it very simply. What I've discovered about myself is the things that I don't use the power on, I'd rather they have power over me than me have power over them. Because I know I have the power and I choose not to access the power. I don't want to apply the power to this because I don't want this to go away. You get sick of something, it's gone. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And just for context, let me jump in here at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling has given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, let me just point something out here really quick in verse 20. You have not so learned Christ. You don't learn something necessarily in one moment. Learning is a process. It takes time. So in the process of learning Christ, who is he? How does he operate? How does this work? If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old, and this word for old means antique or not recent or worn out. If you needed a new context for old, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you got Jesus in you, put Jesus on you, like do anything you can to say, I don't want this old person, I want the new person. Then he gives some specifics in verse 25. Now, if I left you out before, hopefully you're not going to get left out here. Therefore, put away lying. You say, well, what are you talking about? If you're a liar, stop lying. You say, well, it's easier said than done. I've built my whole life around lies. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. So the Bible doesn't say you can't be angry, but it says be angry in such a way that you don't sin when you're angry. So some people in this room and beyond have, just crazy, over-the-top anger issues, explosive anger issues. And you try to keep a lid on it, but it comes off somewhere. And the people that need to confront you are so terrified by you, maybe they're afraid to say something because you'll get angry. If you have an anger problem or even think you have an anger problem, ask someone, do you think I have an anger problem? And don't be shocked if they go, are you kidding? So surround yourself with people that can address your issues and say things to you. Don't just live an ignorant life with your problem and nobody help you. Now, if you don't want help, you're going to end up by yourself or surrounded with crazies just like you. So if you look around the people you run with and go, wow, these guys are nuts, there's a good chance you are too. So what did he say here? Be angry, do not sin, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So somehow anger here is you let the sun go down, the devil gets a spot and goes, now I got him. And then you get more angry and more angry. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. Stop stealing. You say, well, who are these people? Every major corporation, big stores have massive amounts of money spent on trying to stop their employees from stealing from them. And by the way, if I read any of this and you feel conviction, there's a chance it's you. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, it could be you. I know that's shocking. And you say, well, I don't want to think about that. Let the Holy Spirit start moving through your heart and mind and show you, you'd be amazed. And I'm going to give you an example of how this works. The place I live in right now, someone cuts the grass in the front. The landlord cuts the grass in the front. And the guy that cuts his grass, I don't think is here legally. I have no control of that. But I got a guy who cuts the backyard for X amount of dollars. And the guy in the front yard, I asked him what he would charge, and it was $10 less. So I could save that many dollars over a year if I was willing to hire an illegal person to cut my grass. You say, dude, everybody's doing it. And since when did the Holy Spirit dish that out? So there's that moment of, wow, I could save a bunch of money and this guy probably needs the money, but he's here illegally. So what do you think I did? I just don't cut the grass anymore. It's about 6 feet high. I stuck with my more expensive guy because these subtle things make a difference. You say, well, what about the guy that's here illegally? I mean, you say, well, now you're going to get all political. Listen to me. There's nothing political about abiding by laws. Get over that. If somebody is here illegally, I've helped people that are here illegally get home or help them be able to stay here and not live in fear. You say, oh, I'm not nervous about telling the truth, folks. You might be nervous because you're employing some people that are here illegally. You say, well, but I want to help them. Then give them food. Don't encourage them to stay here illegally. If you feel very nervous and think this is too insensitive, now we're getting somewhere. Because the Holy Spirit starts moving through your life and you say, well, but this is what I think. This is what I've decided. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. And as he moves through your heart and your life, he will change your opinions, even strongly held opinions, if they violate laws, for instance. Tough book. Keep reading as though we kind of wish it was over. Verse 29, let no corrupt, and the word corrupt is putrefied, rotten. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What does it mean to grieve someone? It means to make them sad. Don't make him sad. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You say, well, that's just more easy answers. They're all easy answers, but the application of them is tough, isn't it? That's okay. So you're saying, well, then you're right and that guy's wrong. Sometimes you don't even have to get into that. You just have to realize people are at a place in the process and you may tell them something and they may disagree with you and then they may go chew on it and then they may come back. You don't back off the truth just because somebody doesn't agree with the truth. And we're all very selective about what we allow. I could shut it down here, but I want to read you these verses and then we'll try to be done. Let's go to Philippians. Let me read you some stuff out of Philippians and then we'll be done. Philippians chapter 1, and this will be an encouraging way to wrap this up, where you're not discouraged as you either plow through the process personally or you help someone else in process. Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints, Philippi, bishops, deacons, grace to you, peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident. And look what he says about it, what he's confident about. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I have confidence. When I meet someone that's a Christian, even if they're completely screwed up, I have confidence not in them, but in God's ability to finish what he started in them. God finishes what he starts. He will complete it. And it may take time, and it may be messy, and people may come, and they may go, they may come, and they may go. They may be upset. They may flip you off. They may scream and holler, whatever they do. Don't take it all personally. It's probably not you they don't like. They don't want to hear the truth and may not want to change their lives, but that's okay. Because God is way more patient, way more gentle, and way more tactical in how he comes after me personally, and I'm sure you as well. And one more in Philippians chapter 2. And this is a great verse and so encouraging for me, and I think it'll be for you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You did the right thing when I'm around, but now you're doing the right thing even when I'm not around. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So here's how this looks. You say, well, yeah, okay, I get all the easy answers, and yeah, it's easier said than done, but let me tell you something. I don't even want to do what you're talking about or what I see. It is God who works in you both to will and do. So he will give you the will to do what he wants you to do, and then he will do what he wants you to do in and through you. It's all him. You say, well, I'm not even willing for him to will and do. Then here's a simple prayer. Claude helped me with this years ago. Here's a simple prayer. If all you can get out is this, God, I don't agree. I don't want to agree. I see what it says. I don't like it. I don't want to change, but I am willing to be made willing. Give him that. You'd be amazed what that little crack can open up. Even if you have no desire for your life to change at all, just say, God, I am willing to be made willing. Yield some of your will, because he can take your will and give you the will, and then he will give you the do to do what he wants you to do and who he wants you to be.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, is this, you say, well, it seems really simple. It's really simple, but we complicate this. Some of it our own sin, we don't want to give up. Some of our opinions, we don't want to give up. You say, well, it's not that simple. I understand it's not that simple, but it doesn't mean it's not right or wrong. So do you be patient? Yes. Had a guy here for years. He came here legally, overstayed, was here illegally, and lived in fear all the time of being caught and deported. And a bunch of the men in this church took him down to the immigration office, and he turned himself in, and we stood with him and said, we are here to help do whatever. If he's got to go back, we'll help him go back and start over and come back in. But if he can stay, we're here to help with that. So this is not just talking about it. This is getting involved and committed to that person. And he is now an American citizen, okay? And he does not fear being deported from his country. You say, yeah, but Richard, you're tackling big things you don't know anything about. You know what? I'm tackling a ton of things I read out of scripture that maybe I don't know much about, but it's your deal, and you got to talk to God about it and figure this out. And these things are easier said than done unless he's the one doing the doing. And then anything's possible.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.